She's a singer, a songwriter, musician, producer, and much, much more. Her voice has been described as powerful, shimmering, mystical, spiritual, haunting, and simply beautiful. She's the voice of Newfoundland trad rockers Figgy Duff, and she's made several solo recordings. She's a Renaissance woman of Newfoundland music, convincing a generation that there is value in tradition. Although she shuns awards, she has been recognized by the East Coast Music Association, by the Junos, and by Memorial University. Hi, I'm Wayne Tucker, and today, the Newfound Records Radio Hour presents Pamela Jean Morgan, The Early Years, in her words, with her music.
I was born in Grand Falls, Newfoundland.
Mom was a music teacher.
She taught piano in the home. And I had three older sisters who all played the piano. So I grew up knowing the classical composers who have pieces that people learn. So I used to hear them over and over and over and over and over again. But then, of course, you know, my older sisters also had records and things. And so Joan Baez was a big one for my sister Eleanor. And then, you know, like I remember there were a few albums. One was called London A-Go-Go. Which had great songs on it. And then, of course, you know, the regular things that were on the radio at the time.
So you learned to play the piano at an early age. Mm-hmm. You're still playing it?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm playing more piano now than I have in most of my professional career.
Did you learn any other instruments at an early age? I know later you did.
No, not really at an early age, but I have an interesting story. One of my older sisters got a guitar for Christmas one time, and this was like way, way back. I was quite young. I remember it was, it had Chuck Wagon written on it, and it had a picture of a Chuck Wagon on it. So I picked it up, and I thought that you got the different tones from a guitar by turning the pegs. So I'd be sitting down there with the guitar and turning the pegs, and I had Home on the Range plucked out right on this old guitar until somebody told me, no, that's not what you do. You have to put your fingers on the frets.
Did you continue with your interest in guitar at that point in time?
When we were in high school, I had a friend whose father was a great guitarist. His name was Ralph Galton, and this was Kathy Galton, was his daughter, and she was my friend in school. She knew how to play guitar really well. She learned from her dad. I got really interested in it then. So we had a little group called the Lincolns. There was four girls singing harmonies and, you know, playing a bit of guitar.
So this was in Grand Falls when you were, sounds like, early
teenagers,
teens? Maybe?
Yeah, sort of mid-teens.
Oh, so
14, 15, yeah.
And Lincolns.
Yeah.
tell me what kind of music you were interested in.
Just kind of like pop songs of the time, just what was ever on the radio that we liked.
You weren't singing the old traditional stuff, a cappella,
not at that time. No, although I have to say it was fortuitous in a way. Like when I was around that period, I did go to the local library looking for the Peacock books. Because there was that thing in the air then. There were a lot of folk songs that were on the radio then. It was like this sort of folk revival from the 60s and that. And I had heard Joan Baez and things. And I knew that there were folk songs in Newfoundland. And I had consulted the Peacock books before I ever ran in the Knoll. That was it was kind of like, you know, a coincidence of some sort. But I kind of had an inkling, but we didn't do any. But I was sort of starting to think, you know, what about this?
That's interesting, there was something there before Noel Dinn and the rest of the whole Figgy Duff thing came to being.
I was
wondering about that.
Yeah.
You're listening to 93.5 CHMR. Today, Newfound Records presents Pamela Morgan, The Early Years. I next asked Pamela how she became involved in theater and how she connected with Noel Dinn, leader of pioneer Newfoundland trad rockers, Figgy Duff.
What happened was I had an excellent teacher in high school who taught art and drama and literature. He also ran the drama club. We had a very active theater scene in our high school. In the summer of my grade 10, I think it was, we got an Opportunities for Youth grant. We put a theater troupe out on the road in the summertime and went around sort of central Newfoundland with a couple of plays. It was fantastic. We had a ball. It was my first road experience, so I kind of got hooked then. And then the following year, we did a collaboration, a play that we all wrote together about the Beothuk. It was called The Way to Gossett. We entered it in the high school drama festival, but we entered it as a non-competitive entry because we were trying to make a statement. We didn't agree with competitive drama festivals. Anyway, it was a great play, and we got invited to play it at the Dominion Drama Festival in St. John's, and Noel saw the play. So I'm making the connection of how he and I met. Right. I sang a song I had composed, and he saw it and was very interested in it.
You were in grade 10 at the time?
Yeah.
Now, the song that you sang and composed, can you remember what it was in the title?
It was called The Road to Gossett, and the words were written by the Chess Skinner, who was our leader and director. It was about how will it feel to be the last person of your race. It was the person knowing that they were the last, and it was quite moving, actually. It was a great play.
So you did the music for the song?
I wrote the melody, yeah. It was a cappella.
You never recorded that?
No, I never did.
Let's get back to Noel Dind, and where did that go? He heard you, he liked you. What next?
In grade 11, I auditioned for and got a role with the Newfoundland Travelling Theatre, which was led by Dudley Cox, and they did a four-month pageant all around Newfoundland. And that was fantastic, too, because we did 69 one-night stands that summer.
Oh, my goodness.
In Newfoundland. Now, can you imagine it?
I mean,
like, the out-of-the-way places that we did, it was just incredible. I got to see so much of the province. It was unbelievable. And, of course, you know, I was then already interested in the traditional music in Newfoundland, so it was kind of like just sort of getting an education as to the... We had an accordion player with us, too. His name was Norman Rice. So that opened a lot of doors for, like, other players and everything, and, you know, just to see things around Newfoundland. But we didn't really get into the exchanging songs or anything because we were a bunch of hippies on a school bus that was painted red, and, you know, I don't think people were that pleased to see us rolling in the town most of the time. But, you know, it was a great education in more ways than one. I had that experience. I went home. My parents were freaking out because I didn't technically even have grade 11 because I left school before it was over. It was a four-month stint with the theater. So they didn't want me to be a traveling thespian. So they wanted me to... So I said, okay, I will go and get my grade 12. And I went to Nova Scotia and stayed with relatives and did that. And then when I came back, I joined the Mummers troupe. And then that's when I met up with Noel again. He asked me to come down to rehearse, and then he wanted me in the band, and so I had the decision of whether to, you know, stay with the Mummers or to go join the band, and I joined the band.
You're listening to Pamela Morgan, The Early Years on 93.5. Next, Pamela talks of joining Figgy Duff in 1975.
Well, he just said, you know, we need a singer.
Oh.
I got this band, and we're doing this Newfoundland stuff. And I was, of course, I was very interested because I had, you know, had the same kind of thoughts myself. Although I wasn't familiar with the bands he introduced me to, like Steely and Fairport and those. I had no idea that they existed, but he did, and he played them for me, and I thought, oh, my God. It just sounded like something really exciting that I wanted to pursue because I knew, as did he, that we had our own source for material to put out like that. You know, there was like Newfoundland was full of traditional songs, more so here than, you know, in most places in the British Isles, because we've been so isolated for such a long time that there was such a wealth of material, and it had taken on its own character from having been here and having been isolated for such a long time. So it was like a gold mine of material you could work with, and it was really exciting. And so I kind of got swept up in that.
It's time for a short break, and we'll be right back to hear Pamela Morgan's account of life on the road in a van with a bunch of hippies.
Wetlands provide homes for hundreds of species of birds and other wildlife, but these habitats are disappearing fast. Help us save Canada's wetlands today. Ducks Unlimited Canada, active by nature.
This is CJMR FM, 93.5.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. We now return to Pamela Morgan, the early years. Next, I asked Pam about Noel Dinn's interest in traditional Newfoundland music at the time she joined Figgy Duff in 1975.
Well, he and Laverne Squires had been at that before I ever came along. I mean, they were doing that with Lukey's Boat. Her interpretation of Newfoundland songs was absolutely brilliant. They were exploring that before Figgy Duff. Then that band kind of fizzled out, and Noel was trying to start a new outfit, and he was concentrating more on the traditional instruments. Then he was recruiting mandolin and fiddle and accordion. He wanted all those instruments, whereas Lukey's Boat was more like a rock band that did folk songs, whereas Figgy Duff was more of a fusion thing where there was the traditional instruments as well as the traditional songs. So that was his vision at the time. But it certainly wasn't a new concept to interpret the traditional songs, because he was doing that long before in Lukey's Boat.
So at what point did you start visiting the small communities of the province and collecting, I guess, for want of a better word, the music from the old-timers who were
right
singing
away.
It in the kitchens?
Right away. I mean, well, not I say right away, but from the first few times I went down to rehearse, we were doing songs from the Peacock Book. But it was very, very soon that we were saying, well, you know, this person, we got this song from, they live in Renews, so why don't we just go down to Renews? So that's kind of how it happened. And what we would do is get a gig and play somewhere and then go and look for the local singer right. in the community and then exchange songs with them.
Pamela now speaks of Figgy Duff's years on the road. It was a hard slog.
The whole thing is a blur. I mean, we spent years in the back of a van, and like a lot of times, we didn't know where we were going next. Like, Noel would be on the phone, like the pay phone somewhere on some high side of the highway somewhere, looking at some bar and asking, could we come, like, the next night? I mean, it was literally like that. What you got to realize is that there was no infrastructure in place as there is now. Like, we never had a manager or a booking agent or anything, or a publicist, anything like that. We were just sort of flying by the seat of our pants all the time. So I can't really give you specifics, but I will say that when we first started going up on along, it was really hard because we were too folky for the rock bars and we were too rocky for the folk bars. And speaking of jazz and blues, that's where we ended up. We played a lot of blues bars in Toronto in the early years. Played the Colonial Tavern on Yonge Street and the Room Full of Blues up there in Yorkville, and it was blues venues that accepted us, that, you know, we sort of fit into, even though we played no blues, but a blues audience kind of understood more where we were trying to come from, whereas folkies were kind of very folky and didn't like the bass and drums and the heavy rock vibe, and of course the rock bars, you know, didn't really know what the hell we were, so that's pretty much what happened. And then we tried to play the folk festival circuit, and that was, you know, a disaster. We were very popular with audiences, loved us, and the live shows were great. But organizers and people who disliked chaos and liked organization hated us because, I mean, we were always, like, coming in with loads of gear they didn't know what to do with. Sound men didn't know how to mix us, and we weren't carrying our own sound man. It was a lot of chaos and fiasco, and I remember trying to bring the bass and drums over to Toronto Island for Mariposa Festival. I mean, like, they didn't understand why, and they didn't want it, and they didn't like us, and we were just a nuisance to a lot of people. Plus, like, you know, being a polite word would be opinionated, and not so polite word would be belligerent. Sometimes the people in the band were very used to fighting, you know, for things. But folk festivals, if we managed to get on stage with all the gear and with a sound man who could actually mix us, we did great. People loved it and just went crazy. It was fantastic. But more often than not, we'd get to a folk festival and the sound man wouldn't know what to do with us, and there wouldn't be enough channels to put the drums on stage, and, like, you know, all kinds of things like that. So it was hard. It was a hard slog.
You're listening to Pamela Morgan, The Early Years, on 93.5 CHMR. Figgy Duff received some very favorable press in the mid-70s. After hearing them play in a pub, the Toronto Star's Peter Goddard, who was Canada's leading popular music critic, said, "It was deathly quiet as everybody listened to Pamela Morgan singing. Her voice was pure as a fresh breeze. The song was one of those sad old Celtic ballads with a falling melody highlighted by the tiniest of grace notes, and everyone listened as if it was an anthem. And it was an anthem, a quiet battle cry for the real folk music of the Maritimes, and Newfoundland in particular." The Duff also appeared on national radio, on Sylvia Tyson's Touch the Earth, and repeatedly as a guest of Peter Zowski. In 1978, Figgy Duff opened for the band that helped popularize Irish music around the world. That band was the Chieftains. The venue was Massey Hall, one of Toronto's most prestigious concert venues. Also in 1978, the Duff signed a contract with one of the world's leading record companies, Island Records of New York. They began to record their first album at Manta Sound in Toronto. That was the studio where pop superstar Rod Stewart had just recorded his two albums. There was plenty of hype about their upcoming album in the Newfoundland media, and their many, many fans eagerly anticipated release of their first album. Once again, here's Pamela Morgan.
We got put in Manta Sound by Island Records, who were very interested in us at the time. So we went into the studio with this guy, Paul. Now, you got to remember, we were kind of like country bumpkins, for want of a better word. We were very inexperienced with any studio, and Manta to us was like a spaceship, state-of-the-art, beautiful, big studio. And then Paul was there. But Paul, I mean, bless him, he's not a bad guy, but he did not, literally, didn't understand a word Art Stoyle said. Art was our accordion player at the time, yes. And he had a really thick accent.
Yes.
It was just, and he couldn't understand him. And not only did he not understand his speech, he didn't understand his sensibility or our sensibility. I mean, there was just a really big cultural divide between Paul and us. He was wrong for us. There's no two ways about it. And so the album ended up being nowhere near what it should have been.
So that got scrapped.
Yeah.
What about the master tapes from that? What became of those?
Well, when I did, I produced the retrospective. When I did that, I went back and looking for the tapes. A couple of tunes from that first album are on the retrospective.
Yes.
The ones that I thought were good enough to put there, like some of them just weren't good enough.
From the ill-fated, unreleased album recorded in 1978, we'll now hear one of the two tracks that Pamela released 17 years later on the retrospective CD. Here's Figgy Duff with Tarry Trousers.
As I roved out one fine summer's evening to view those flowers and to take the air, 'twas there I spied a tender mother talking to her daughter dear. Daughter, oh daughter, I'll have you to marry, no longer to live a sweet single life. Oh mother, I'd rather to tarry, to be a brave young sailor's wife. A sailor shy sets all for to wander, to some foreign country he go. They will cause you to sigh and to murmur, they will prove your overthrow. Thank you. small, they all make noise. My true love's in the field of battle, now fight on my gallant boys.
Pamela Morgan, Dave Panty, Art Stoyles, Noel Dinn, and Philip Dinn, Figgy Duff with the traditional Tyree trousers. Through the late 1970s, the band continued to pay their dues on the road. In 1980, they played one of their most acclaimed events, the Philadelphia Folk Festival. 15,000 music fans attended the main concert. The editor of Philadelphia Weekly said that Figgy Duff was the freshest breath of new music at the whole festival. Later in 1980, Figgy Duff took another stab at recording their first album. This time, with new producers, they recorded at Nimbus 9 Studio in Yorkville, Toronto. Their long-awaited first album, the self-titled Figgy Duff, was finally released. The critics raved. A Billboard International correspondent said, "I feel like I've found the motherlode. Figgy Duff is the most exciting and inventive folk find I've heard since the Chieftains." The Montreal Gazette said, "Lead singer Pamela Morgan has a haunting voice that does full justice to the hardship of seagoing life." The reviewer also pointed out that the album's instrumental jigs and reels and body sing-alongs are guaranteed to lift you out of your seat. From their first album, released by Posterity Records, here are Figgy Duff with Tinker Behind the Door. Noel Dinn, Pamela Morgan, Dave Panting, and Jeff Butler from their first album, Figgy Duff, released in 1980. Time for another short break, and when we come back, the critics continue to rave about Figgy Duff's music, while the band continues to struggle financially.
Are you looking for direction in your life? Join us on Reflection Time every Sunday at 5 p.m. We examine world events and everyday issues from a biblical viewpoint, as well as sharing with you a variety of Christian music, including local artists. So tune in to CHMR on Sundays at 5 to Reflection Time.
featuring the best in folk and blues, you're tuned to Mun Radio 93.5 CHMR FM, your only music alternative.
The Mun Sustainability Office was opened in January of 2007, and the work that it does is guided by the Advisory Committee on Sustainability. If you have an interest in environmental or sustainability issues and would like to learn what Mun is doing, or would yourself like to help Mun become green, contact the Sustainability Coordinator by emailing sustain@mun.ca or calling 737-2637.
I'm Wayne Tucker, and you're listening to Pamela Morgan, The Early Years, a special presentation of the Newfound Records Radio Hour. Be sure to visit Pamela Morgan's website. The address is pamelamorgan.ca. There you can purchase Pamela's music, as well as the music of Figgy Duff, and you can find out where she's playing next. The address, again, is pamelamorgan.ca. You can also follow the Newfound Records Radio Hour on our companion website. The address for that is newfoundrecords.ca, and I'll be posting the playlist for this show to that site. Newfound Records is also on Facebook, and we're on Twitter, where our handle is @newfoundrecords. Send email to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. We now return to Pamela Morgan, The Early Years. Although critics praised Figgy Duff's first album, and the band benefited from the talents of manager John Parsons, their success did not translate into the financial returns they had hoped for. Once again, here's Pamela Morgan.
We had some great reviews on that record. It was fabulous, and we had, you know, we did have John working with us at the time. John was a different kind of a manager. He had no experience either. Again, there was no real developed music industry where people had connections and networks and all that kind of stuff. Like, he was feeling it at the same time we were. But he did do some great things, one of which was he got this record reviewed in a lot of great, well, American publications. People really reacted well to the record, but there was a missing piece of the puzzle somewhere. Like, it didn't translate into touring or sales or anything that would propel the band to the place where it should have been with that record. The same, I think, is true of most of our records. There was something missing in between the actual records and the ability to capitalize on it. We never, ever did. And starting with that one, that's the first one.
Did you have the business smarts at the time to realize that you needed that kind of thing, that you needed
no.
to promote? Do you think things have changed today for bands like, I know, Great Big Sea and
Great Big Sea,
Buddy Wass's name? They seem to have managed their careers quite well.
They do.
I'm thinking that they probably have learned from observing what went on before them as other groups.
Yeah, and there's a lot more infrastructure now. There's the ECMA, and there's a lot of channels to which you can go for help and, you know, learning. None of that existed when we were on the go. Great Big Sea had fantastic management, and they were at the right place at the right time, and they appealed to a wide demographic of mostly young people who bought a lot of CDs, so they did really well for themselves. Buddy Wass's name, same thing. I mean, they're very smart with their savvy with their marketing, but we just never ever got that.
In 1983, Figgy Duff released its second album, After the Tempest. Once again, the album contained mostly traditional music, and once again, the critics raved. Pamela now explains how the album got its title.
Well, in 1982, we were hired to write an original score for Shakespeare's Tempest. Stephen Bush was the director's name, and he came down from Toronto. It's set on an island, and it's common throughout the world for people to claim that island as their own and set Tempest in the particular place where they are. So there's Tempests all over the world that are set in different islands and have that bent. So Stephen figured that Newfoundland could have been the island. And it was an incredible production for many different reasons, but one of which is that it's been proven that the local dialect in Newfoundland and some of the places like around Bonavista Bay and up around Greens Pond, those areas, that the kind of English that's still spoken there is the closest to the Shakespearean dialect that exists in the world today, the way that Shakespeare wrote. So the language of a Shakespeare play rolls off the tongue of a Newfoundland person who has one of those accents very, very naturally. So it was fantastic in that way, because he encouraged people to use their own accents, and it just makes the language of Shakespeare sound great by a Newfoundland accent. So there was that. There were some great actors, and we were on the stage for the whole time, and we were in a little cave, and we were playing live for the show, and the music was, in my opinion, really great, because Noel was always a composer, and because he was working so hard to get these bands off the ground, like, you know, there was, well, even before Lukey's Boat, there was a bunch of bands that he was trying to get going. So he didn't really pay a lot of attention to his own compositions, but The Tempest gave him a vehicle to use a lot of his own compositions. So some of the music, it was music that he had written over the years, and it's just absolutely beautiful and suited the play to a T. And the result was fantastic.
And one of the tracks on the album after The Tempest is Honor Riches.
Yep.
And that's taken, isn't it, from the original?
That's from Tempest, yeah. That was one of the reasons for After The Tempest title. But the other reason was because it was just after the Ocean Ranger.
Oh,
Our
right.
Tempest, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really affected. In fact, the Ocean Ranger went down. It was the closing night party of Tempest that happened.
On the richest marriage blessing, long continuance and increasing, all the joys be still upon you. Sings her blessings on you, earth's increase, poison plenty, barns and garners never empty, vines with clustering bunches growing, plants with goodly burden bowing, spring come to you at the farthest, at the very end of harvest. And want shall shun you. Serious blessing so is on you. Sometimes it feels like pain. From the sea of love and heartbreak, the tide rolls in again. I'm running out to meet it, and you just run away. Don't have to. Sometimes it feels like rain, for some a dream of passion, for others just a game. But if it once has touched you, you know.
Shades of color.
Composed by Noel Dinn and Pamela Morgan, the title song from Figgy Duff's third album, Weather Out the Storm, released in 1990. On this album, the Duff used synthesizers and for the first time integrated popular music into their traditional repertoire. That album included another first, several original songs by Dinn and Morgan, in addition to the traditional material. The album was nominated for a Juno Award in the Best Roots and Traditional Album category in 1991. Before Weather Out the Storm, we heard Honor Riches. You're listening to 93.5 CHMR-FM. Figgy Duff's final album, Downstream, was released in 1993. Noel Dinn passed away shortly after its release. Here's Pamela Morgan.
Noel was quite sick when we were recording Downstream.
It was cancer, wasn't it?
Yeah. He really, really, really wanted to do it. He didn't seek medical attention. He said, after it's done, after. And we kept on saying, no. But you don't say no to Noel. He was a very, very strong-willed person, and he was going to do things his way. So, and by that time, it was only me and him. And, you know, everybody in the band had gone on to their, you know, their own things, and so we got people in to play on it and everything, like, you know, session musicians and people we knew around the place. And the only publicity about Downstream was Noel's illness and subsequent passing. So it was doomed, I guess, from the start. There's a lot of really, really, I think, great material on it, but it never had a chance because it's identified with his passing, you know. The song Downstream itself, while it's quite dark, is a great swan song, I think. And, you know, I understand why. I think he, in his heart of hearts, knew that, you know, his time was short, and so he wanted to leave that, so I helped him do it.
Well, you spent all your money, but you saved one. Precious dream, burnt your house in the country and took a strange boat downstream. There are those who tell the
through the fire where you melt like wax, nothing to hide on the dark side, nothing to hide on the outside. I'm going down to the alabaster field through flashing spears and pounded shields, through the valley of unrest, the wall that I corral and call of the best, with Baudelaire and Arthur in bond. These three got drunk on more than wine. The fairy queen and the black moon shine, lost creatures from the black lagoon.
Last track from Figgy Duff's last album, Downstream, sung beautifully by Pamela Morgan. It was written by Din, who passed away shortly after its release. Downstream was Noel Din's swan song. After the demise of Figgy Duff, Pamela Morgan remained committed to the group's vision. She couldn't bear the thought of the band's music coming under the control of others. So she bought the rights to everything that Figgy Duff produced. In 1995, she released a compilation of the best material from the Duff's four albums, along with a few unreleased tracks. She called the collection Retrospective. She has also organized occasional reunions of the band, and in 2008, she released a live album by a reincarnated Figgy Duff. The title of that album is Figgy Duff Live, Silver Reunion. In addition to other initiatives, Pam has been pursuing a solo recording career over the past few decades. She's released four albums. The most recent is entitled Play On, which is mostly original material along with a couple of traditional songs and one cover. She has a few long-term pet projects in the works as well. One is a re-recording of music from Figgy Duff's Tempest score, originally performed in the early 1980s. Pamela now speaks about re-recording of The Tempest.
Anyway, in recent years, like in the last 5 or 6 years, I kind of think it's my responsibility to make sure it's not lost. I have the music recorded, I'm just trying to get some more money to mix it. I did it in England when I did Play On. I've completed the recording in England. I've been chipping away at getting this recording done for years now.
So it's at the mixing stage, or about to be mixed.
About to be mixed, yeah.
And who? What musicians were involved?
Well, I've got Dave Panting, who was in the original score, and my brother George playing the drums, who filled in all the subsequent Figured Off concerts on drums since Noel passed away. And I can't remember exactly who else. There's a lot of different musicians on it. Kelly, probably. There's a cello. I got some strings from a string player in England. I'm doing a lot of it myself. I'm doing all the pianos and guitars and things, mm-hmm. and whistles. I can't remember exactly now, to tell you the truth, because I haven't been back at it for a while. But I did, again, record it on both sides of the pond. Like, I got a lot of stuff here and then a lot of stuff over there.
You're working on a folk opera, I understand.
That's another project that's been in the works for a gazillion years. Rising Tide staged that for me and provided me with a dramaturge to work on it over a period of a winter. They've been very generous to me. Rising Tide have been very good to me. I'm looking at this again now because my dream is, of course, to have it produced on Broadway or somewhere else, to have it have a life. I want it to have a life. But I'm trying to find someone to put it up again so I can work on it again. So I'm going to try to approach the symphony or somebody to...
So the music written?
Oh, yeah. Well, I say the music's written, but I'd like to do some more work on it. I'd like to write an overture and write some more choral pieces so I can involve a choir. Finishing touches, basically. I mean, the body of the piece is written and the story is written and most of it is written, but I need to do some more work on it. And then I want to get an orchestra or some sort of an ensemble, if not a full orchestra, but an ensemble of different instruments. I'll need somebody to orchestrate the music that's already written and try to put it up again. That's what I'm going to try and do in the next few years.
Well, that would be going down a different road for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you have to sort of try to... I've got, you know, a lot of, just a few of these projects that I've always wanted to do. And I'm getting older now, so I got to have to bring them to fruition before I kick the proverbial bucket. So I'm going to try and get that in the next few years. The folk opera, you know, I used to joke and say it was my retirement plan. My RSP. Mm-hmm. But I got to get at that now if that's going to work.
In 2007, Memorial University of Newfoundland and Labrador recognized Pamela Morgan's contribution to the development of traditional music in this province by conferring an honorary Doctor of Letters degree. The university noted that Pamela continued to write, arrange, perform, and tour in her highly original and hauntingly beautiful style. To find out more about Pamela Morgan, visit our website, www.pamelamorgan.ca. You can purchase her music there, including her latest release, Play On. And you can view her performance schedule on her website as well. Pamela Morgan has been performing for almost 40 years, and she's still a dreamer. Who knows what lies ahead for Pamela Morgan?
I think one of these days now I'm going to reinvent myself as a jazz singer.
I love it.
I do
love
too.
That sort of stuff.
And, you know, if you'll notice, on all of my solo CDs, there's at least one song that has that bent on it, with the exception of, Ancestral Songs has a dole, which is a bluesy thing. Mm-hmm. But On a Wing and a Prayer has Backseat. That actually ended up on a jazz compilation in Poland. And they approached me. I didn't sell it to them. It's called Rendezvous on the Jazz Boulevard, and it's got Ella Fitzgerald and a whole lot of other heavyweight jazz singers on it, and me with Backseat.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It was amazing, isn't it? And then there's on 7 Years album, there's That Kind of Guy, which is like a real jazz song, which I wrote. And then there's Wayward Heart on this one. I think that there's something in me that kind of wants to do that. And as I say, it's not foreign to me. It's something that it just comes. It seems to come around every record, and I got at least one song on there like it. So I think maybe I might learn a few standards and sell myself as a lounge lizard piano player.
You got me sold.
Okay. What can
chasing down dreams like nobody should. Wayward heart with a mind of its own.
We just heard Pamela sing her own composition, the jazzy Wayward Heart, from her latest album, Play On. Pamela and her old friend, traditional Newfoundland fiddler, Emile Benoit, take us out today with a track from Emile's album That Comes From the Heart, recorded in 1982. You've been listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. The show was recorded at the CHMR Studios, Memorial University, St. John's, Newfoundland. It was researched, produced, and hosted by me, Wayne Tucker. Send email to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. Newfound Records airs Saturday at noon, or you can catch a repeat broadcast on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. A great big thanks to Pamela Morgan for the wonderful interview, which was recorded in March of 2013. Until next time, as always, be kind to Mother Earth and her children, and we'll see you next week. Play on, Pamela and Emile.